Good afternoon. We're going to give folks about 5 minutes to get online, and then we'll start the presentation. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Alois. I'm Director of Planning at Capital Region Council of Governments, and we're here to talk about the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update that is currently underway. We're going to have a presentation. I'll be presenting. Also, Caitlin Palmer, our Principal Planner at CROG, will be presenting, and Kara Radzin, our Transportation Deputy. This is our second set of public meetings. We had meetings in November, and this is our second set where we had one last night, and obviously this is the second of two. And next slide. I'll go over the agenda briefly. Basically, we'll tell you a little bit about CROG. We'll tell you about the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. We'll tell you about our plan's goals and objectives, which have been set over our update period and with input at the last public meeting and through various other public input opportunities. And we'll also, new to this meeting, we'll go over our plan update, which we're calling Connect 2050. And you can see in the agenda the various chapters, and we'll touch on each chapter briefly. And of course, it's a large document, so it is posted online. If you want more detail, we can only cover so much here, but we want to give you an overview of what is in the plan and get your comment and feedback. And then we'll open things up to your input and comments. Next. So CROG has 38 towns and cities in the greater Hartford area. You can see on the map outlined in blue our limits. We cover, we have about 1 million residents. We serve our towns with regional programs. We also serve as the federal designated metropolitan planning agency or organization for the greater Hartford region. And this is really to give, it's a federal designation, and it gives all our municipalities a voice in how federal dollars are spent within the region. We do more than transportation though. We also promote responsible land use and preservation of the environment and economic development. Next. So as mentioned, this shows our three main core planning, long-range planning documents. And those are the Regional Plan of Conservation and Development dealing with land use, our comprehensive economic development strategy dealing with the economy, and the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, which we're here tonight to talk about. And a little more about the Metropolitan Transportation Plan is a federally mandated document, must comply with US DOT regulations. It must cover a long range outlook, 20 years at a minimum. And it must look at how the region's transportation network is being developed. And when I say transportation, I mean surface transportation. This plan is limited to surface transportation. It's updated on a four-year cycle. Our last update was Connect 2045, which was released in 2019. This is Connect 2050, which is currently published in draft format on our website and is in the public comment period right now and will be finalized later this spring. We have to incorporate a performance-based data-driven process and development of the plan. As mentioned, we had public meetings in November, and this is the second set of public meetings now, and we'll be seeking endorsement of the full plan in April at our policy board meeting. Next. We'll also be seeking at our policy board meeting in April endorsement of the air quality conformity determination, which accompanies this plan. This is a document that can be found in Appendix A of the plan or just on our website independently on the MTP website. It's something that's produced in concert with the plan. The plan contains all the expected major transportation improvements for the region over the next 27 years. And because this is a federal document, it is required, and because we are in a non-attainment zone for ozone in Connecticut, it is required that we do an air quality conformity analysis on all those improvements and the existing transportation system. We have a budget for emissions, and we have to stay within that budget. And this document shows the modeling and analysis that indicates that we are within the budget, and we are seeking comments on that as well as the plan at this time, and we will seek endorsement again in April. Next. So, what is the transportation planning process and how does the MTP fit into it? Well, we typically have various studies that go through a public process, a federal process, in identifying solutions for needs in our region. And once those projects are vetted through a public process and analyzed, and they have a cost estimate and some idea of the scope of what the improvements are needed, they meet the MTP goals, they can be put into the MTP. And so for each update of the MTP, we include additional projects from various studies around the region, either our studies, Conduit studies, some municipal studies for major projects. They get included in this plan, and then our air quality conformity is performed on them. Once they're in the plan, they're eligible to be put in the TIP, which is the Transportation Improvement Program, which is a document that shows the upcoming 4 years of investments that utilize federal funding within the region. And that's for various phases. The phases are shown there, or the phases that are typically called out in the TIP. Next slide. This is an example of the project list that you'll find in our MTP. This is actually the project list from last update, but it's just shown, as an example that obviously every 4 years, the projects that have been completed are taken out of this list, and we add in those vetted projects that came through some kind of study process, some kind of a public process. We add those into the list and perform our air quality conformity analysis. Next. So we do have to follow some rules in development of this plan. We have to look at mobility and access, which is the core of what transportation is. We have to take a performance-based planning approach. We have to identify funding mechanisms for the projects, and we have to be fiscally constrained within a reasonable expected budget of revenues that we expect to be able to utilize over the next 27 years. Next. And there are more federal requirements. We must consider these 10 items when developing our plan. And I don't think I'll run through all of them, but these have been in effect for quite some time. They're in federal law. But what you'll notice on the upper right side of the screen is the current administration's desire for use of federal funds to put additional emphasis now on climate change mitigation, resilience, equity, and safety for all users. So that is a recommendation from the current administration. Next. So in light of the intensified focus that USDOT wants us to put on those areas, we, in updating the plan, we have made the most, we have three focus areas that we really intend to emphasize. And this is sustainability, safety, and equity. And for sustainability, there's a number of avenues we can take and policy recommendations we can have regarding electric vehicles, transit-oriented development, multimodal infrastructure expansion, transportation demand management. For safety, I'm going to go through a couple slides that illustrate where we're at with safety. Next, and then equity is a major focus, making sure that everybody participates equally in federal investments in our transportation system. So this shows a little bit about where we are with safety, which is a troubling slide, as you can see, going from 249 fatalities within the state of Connecticut, traffic related, up to 384, and especially the jump over this past year is very troubling. This comes after the last half of the 20th century, consistent reductions in traffic fatalities due to seatbelts, airbags, safer cars, safer roadside, guardrail, things of that nature. Now, all of a sudden, 10 years ago or so, we saw that number come to a low point and start to increase, and now is increasing at a troubling rate. Next slide. This shows fatalities within the Capital Region over the last year and how they compare to the five previous year's average. And as you can see, most areas are going up significantly. Luckily, the bike cyclist deaths did decline this past year, but obviously the number is a very small sample size. And unfortunately, nationwide and statewide, we're seeing trends up in all these areas. And there's a number of reasons for that. And numerous reasons. One is our infrastructure could use improvement, especially with non-motorized infrastructure, and could separate peds and cyclists from vehicles more and use more modern design methodologies to better accommodate all modes. Secondly, we've seen speeds increase a large amount during the pandemic. The number of cars at count stations on the freeways going over 85 miles an hour has more than doubled since pre-pandemic levels. We're also seeing larger vehicles on the road, a bigger disparity in the size of vehicles, and a bigger disparity, obviously, with the large vehicles and their impact they can have, with impact points being higher on pedestrians and cyclists. So we're seeing, and of course, technology with distracted driving and also impaired driving. 40% of fatalities involve are alcohol related, which is a staggering statistic. Next slide. So with the focus on climate change, safety, and equity, or the increased focus on that, we made changes to our plan from our last update. And these major focus points, obviously safety touches on all the modes and has been incorporated into many of these chapters. Climate change and resilience mainly applies to chapter one. So there's been some major updates to that chapter. Regarding that, and equity mostly pertains to chapter 12. So there's been changes in that chapter, although all of these topics really are throughout our MTP. Next slide. So what can we do immediately regarding some of these new efforts and some of our goals and policies outlined in the MDP. These are some of the ideas for our upcoming work plans. We have work plans that we fill out every 2 years. So during this next MTP, it will cover two separate two-year work plans. These are some of the items we intend to, or we think are thinking of tackling under those next two work plans. On the right, you'll see our core tasks, which remain the same every UPWP update. But on the left are some ideas for studies that we intend to consider in the upcoming work plans: a bike ped network prioritization plan, some warehouse distribution land use planning. As you know, e-commerce is taking over. There's a big demand for warehousing, and its relationship to the transportation network is critical. Equity burden and benefits analysis, that's a focus of this plan. Of course, that's a focus of the current administration. We plan to look at ways to update our methodologies that we currently use. Regional electric vehicle plan. The state is also doing work with electric vehicles. Really, we're talking here mainly the infrastructure needed for charging stations and other things that are needed for vehicles to expand within the roadway system, travel demand management, and our regional transportation safety plan. We did receive a grant recently that'll allow us to update that to the latest standards. Next slide. And what have we heard from you? These are the, we've heard comments through surveys, through emails and other means, and during our last set of meetings on what our goals and objectives and focus points should be. We've received all kinds of comments. However, these were the main themes: a desire for mode shift to more environmentally friendly travel modes. And you'll see the bullets below there deal with that, whether it be sidewalks or bike infrastructure or transit. Improve safety for all users. We spoke about the safety issues facing our roadway system today and the need for alternative funding mechanisms. Next slide. And now I'm going to turn it over to Kara, who's going to start going over the chapters, each individual chapter in the MTB.
Thanks, Rob. So starting off with chapter one, this chapter of the MTB goes over a lot of what Rob just described in terms of the purpose of our MTP, an overview of our region, how the MTP coordinates with our other plans and the goals. This is also where we talk in more detail about the air quality conformity analysis that Rob mentioned and goes into greater detail about those emissions budgets and how our projects in this plan are compliant with those budgets. We also include a discussion of the demographic assumptions behind the plan, as well as the implementation process for, as Rob described, what we do coming out of the MTP, what do we do with these recommendations and ideas. So then starting with chapter two is where we start getting into a lot of different modes. And so the first one is transit and rail. In terms of the current system conditions in the capital region, we have a number of different transit services in operation. That includes local and express buses, the CT Fast Track bus rapid transit system, as well as passenger rail. In terms of leveled usage of the system, about 3% of residents in the capital region overall commute by bus, but that number is actually 13.6% in Hartford, showing a demographic difference in terms of that usage. But one thing that we do talk about a bit in this chapter is the impact that the COVID-19 pandemic has had on ridership. Those two percentages are based on 2019 data and are probably a little bit different now. The one thing we have seen with the ridership on transit coming out of COVID-19 is initially there was a really significant decrease in ridership across the board on a lot of the modes. The local system has since rebounded beyond pre-pandemic numbers, which is great to see. The CT Fast Track system is close to its pre-pandemic numbers, and there remains a pretty significant gap in ridership between for passenger rail and the commuter bus services, likely due to the demographics of those riders and the fact that a lot of jobs have maintained a hybrid or work from home arrangement for their staff. In terms of issues and deficiencies that are noted in this chapter, includes a lack of rail connectivity north of here, especially to Boston, limited crosstown bus service, which is service between different suburban areas instead of making people come into Hartford to then transfer out, the need for expanded service span, frequency, and coverage in the bus system, as well as opportunities for more flexible transit or micro transit in some of the less dense areas of the region. And then we also talk about the need for additional service to Bradley International Airport, as well as a desire to really focus a lot of our transit improvements within key transit corridors within the region. So then based on this analysis of the issues and deficiencies, we do include a series of recommendations for transit and rail. Those include not only facility and asset upgrades, so that would be to things like Union Station and fast track or CT transit facilities, as well as a focus on the continued procurement of electric buses, while also improving bus service itself. So for example, fast track expansion, our comprehensive service analysis from a couple of years ago recommended the expansion of CT fast track to Bradley International Airport. So that is included within this plan, as well as a focus on transit priority corridors and enhanced bus stops and passenger amenities. For the Hartford line, we note a desire to continue supporting the construction projects for Enfield and Windsor Locks stations, as well as continued pushing for design funding and then construction of new stations in Newington, West Hartford, and Windsor as well. Additionally, for the Hartford line, we include double tracking north of Windsor as a recommendation, as that would allow for increased service levels on the rail line. And then additionally, we round out the transit chapter, with improved rail service to Boston and especially supporting Massachusetts as it relates to the service between Springfield and Boston, and also support for transit-oriented development. While TOD generally falls under our regional planning and development department here at Prague, there is obviously a important aspect of it on the transit piece, so we do discuss it in the MTP. Our next chapter talks about the highway system. This is obviously a very comprehensive chapter within the report itself, so I'm just going to give a high-level overview of it here. In terms of the current system conditions and deficiencies, there are federally seven national goals in terms of looking at the highway system and its condition. So since the last MTP update and since the last round of performance measures, there's been improvement related to infrastructure condition, congestion reduction, system reliability, and freight movement. Unfortunately, as Rob mentioned, there has been a degradation in terms of the safety performance measures in that same time period. And we have seen kind of some mixed performance in terms of environmental sustainability and project delivery delays. In terms of projects on the highway side of things, again, this is a long range plan. So it includes some really large and significant projects that would need to be completed in the next 27 years between now and 2050. So in terms of those kind of really major freeway and arterial project recommendations, this plan includes reconfiguration of the Hartford Viaduct, which carries I-84 through Hartford, also replacement of the Putnam Bridge, and then improvements to the interchange of I-84, Route 9, and Route 4. Two unfunded needs that are identified in the plan but are not included in that fiscally constrained list include the interchange of I-84 and I-91 and the interchange of I-84 and Route 2. In addition to these larger projects, the fiscally constrained list does also include a number of smaller projects on the arterial system that have been identified in either by CROG analysis or through CROG approved studies. And then in terms of ongoing recommendations, in addition to these kind of spot improvements, there is a discussion about safety recommendations, updating our transportation safety plans, supporting safety projects, facilitating traffic incident management best practices, and other safety-related activities. In terms of infrastructure condition, we want to continue our asset management program for bridges, pavement, and signals and other infrastructure. We maintain a congestion management process, so we want to continue to do that, as well as encouraging other aspects that would help to mitigate congestion, including support for TOD and mode shifts and transit demand management strategies. And then on the environmental sustainability side, we include discussion and ongoing recommendations related to support for electric vehicles, transit, and bike ped infrastructure. And now I will turn it over to Caitlin to continue on with the chapters.
All right, thanks so much. So chapter four focuses on complete streets. So essentially this is looking at really the vulnerable users on our roadways, most often, you know, referring to bicyclists and pedestrians. And the chapter, if you've had a chance to take a look at it, it's pretty dense. It's got a lot of information. There's been a lot of progress and work on this front since the last plan. So I'm really gonna barely scratch the surface. But to give you a quick snapshot of sort of the current conditions that we are seeing and that we talk a little bit about in our chapter, just to kind of step back a little bit, our previous plan efforts have focused a lot on our multi-use trails. The last MTP that we did actually added complete streets as a focus though. So to that end, since the plan, we've completed, CROG has completed our regional complete streets plan as well as our regional complete streets policy. We've also been very busy and active, no pun intended, with our active CT project that we do in partnership with DPH. And there's also been a lot of local and state progress as well. The chapter kind of highlights a few of the communities, for example, that have been doing some work there. But I think it's also important to note that currently not even half of our communities have a formal complete streets or bike ped policy. So definitely room for growth there. Additionally, at the state level, talking specifically about the community connectivity grant funding, that has been around since 2014, and I think has been very successful in that time frame. They've awarded over 104 grants. 34 of those have actually come to CROG communities, and that's been over $12 million total in funding through that program alone. And then also definitely need to mention the efforts at the state with the Vision Zero Council as well. Which I think have been very helpful, also in spurring more conversations at the local and the regional level as well. Rob touched a bit on the safety already, so I'm not gonna spend too much time on this. We have a fairly robust conversation in the chapter on this, but I think it's important to mention, as it relates specifically to vulnerable users, that there were just in 2022 alone, there were 79 fatalities on Connecticut roadways for our vulnerable users. 25 of those were in the CROG region. So again, Rob mentioned that it was two bicyclists and the remainder were pedestrians. Rob also touched already on a lot of the contributing factors, so I won't focus too much on that, but there is more information in the chapter for those that are interested. And as far as some of our projects and recommendations, so continue to develop complete streets policies specifically for CROG, continuing to evaluate our own policy so that we are able to respond and adjust to best practices. Also continuously revisiting our selection criteria for the transportation projects that receive funding through us. As far as expanding our complete streets efforts, again, we want to implement the regional network. Specifically, CROG would like to better define and prioritize the complete streets routes within our region, and we're looking to begin that work hopefully in the near future. Also, as part of that, I mentioned our work with Active CT, and we would like to continue doing that as well. Currently working with the Department of Public Health to apply for another 5 years of funding to allow us to continue those efforts. And of course, also included in this would be our work with trails, completing the multi-use path system through the region. The East Coast Greenway has been a major focus for us for several plans now and continues to be as well, However, we are currently in the midst of the Capital Region East Coast Greenway study. So with that planning effort, you know, wrapping up in the next 18 months or so, we definitely are going to be working with our municipalities to identify the next priority focus area for multi-use trails. Also, we've got promoting and expanding the regional micromobility that we have in the region. So building off of, we had done last year, we completed a micromobility feasibility study. So building off of the recommendations in that plan, as well as building off of the success of the existing scooter share program that we have in Hartford, hoping to continue conversations with some communities now to take advantage of some pilots opportunities. And again, the advantage of having the Hartford system nearby and the flexibility that affords us. We also have support educational programs. So CROG as well convenes and shares information on complete streets and active transportation, but also supporting the efforts of various organizations and developing those partnerships. We have a lot of good organizations in that space in the region and in the state, so continuing to do that. I won't touch too much on encouraging mode shift. Rob's already spoken to that a bit, as well as identifying and prioritizing safe bicycle infrastructure. But obviously those are definitely recommendations, and again, aligned with the comments that we received from the public. So just touching briefly on the last one, though, just continuing to collect and evaluate data. So specifically for us, I think CROG is interested in looking at ways to continue the existing CROG bike and ped count program that we have, but also improve our program so that we are doing more counts and getting more consistency in the data. We're also looking at being able to utilize the data from the scooter share program in Hartford and creating partnerships potentially at DOT and with the scooter operator there to look into that, as well as also looking at doing a network, an interactive online map to help us actually track our progress over time. Next slide. All right, next we have chapter five. So as Rob mentioned, we're actually focused on the not airports as far as flight, but really specifically the ground system access, if you will, to and from the airport. And this is including transportation as well as freight. And of the 14 airports in the CROG region, our MTP focuses on the transportation and freight to and from the region's international airport. So obviously that's Bradley. Again, just a quick snapshot of some of the current conditions and issues and things that have been happening since the last MTP. Important to note that the Ground Transportation Center, that was opened. There were service expansions with new destinations and new carriers added and entering into the market at Bradley as well. And you know, increased freight service at Bradley and also around the airport. So cargo operations, they've dropped slightly actually compared to some of our, you know, height of the pandemic numbers that we saw, but cargo still is greatly exceeding our pre-pandemic numbers, and likely those will continue to remain high due to the shift in the consumer buying tendencies. So needing to plan for that. Also not up there, but I think it's important to note that according to at least our most recent data, as far as the passenger numbers, they are climbing, but they still remain about 30% lower than they were pre-pandemic. And then as far as our recommendations here, I won't touch on it because Kara already kind of mentioned this, but expanding the Bradley Flyer to CT Fastrex, specifically extending that down to New Britain, working with CTDOT and CAA to integrate bus stops at the new Ground Transportation Center. There was new service that was introduced at the airport, and it was anticipated that this new bus stop for the service would be located at the transportation center facility, but that didn't happen. So obviously our recommendation would be to encourage that integration so that the customers have a more seamless multimodal experience. Mobility as a service, we touch on that. We also have a lot more information as well in chapter seven. And then, as I've already mentioned or indicated, the growing demand for expanded cargo facilities. So obviously, you need to support development plans to accommodate that growth of cargo. And then lastly, support planning efforts to maximize economic development. There's a few recommendations related to this, specifically just calling attention to one. One of the ways in which we are going to be doing this is including efforts with the town of Windsor and CROG, where we've initiated a study for Route 20. And this would be looking at identifying the concerns and then also identifying recommendations to improve roadway and multimodal access in this vicinity. Next slide, please. All right, so chapter six is focused on our freight transportation system. So this is trucks, this is rail. I think it's important to note that most of the vast majority, as it says, of freight is moved by trucks. Specifically, 90% of freight is actually moved by truck. And the tonnage of the freight is projected to increase by 20% between now and 2040. And Rob, I believe already touched on this as well, and Kara, obviously we have existing congestion in our region, and the congestion has costly impacts as far as terms of delays, lost productivity, and wasted fuel costs, so that's an issue. Also, there's an not adequate amount of truck parking and service facilities, so those are lacking. So this is, you know, rest areas, service plazas, and whatnot, to meet the demands for the truck parking. And we're also hearing this concern directly from our communities as well. Just to kind of put that into perspective, Kaurab region has only 3 of the 20 state-owned service facilities, and I believe we have 4 other private facilities as well. But again, this is still not enough to meet the current needs, much less the growing needs that we might be facing in the future. And then also kind of touched on this with air, but freight is increasing at Bradley Airport. So we'll get into that too much. As far as recommendations, there's actually quite a few recommendations in chapter 6. I won't get into all of them here. I won't touch on even maybe all the recommendations that you see up there. So there's quite a bit more information in the MTP that you should definitely take a look at. But previously mentioned, we have the need to identify improvements for the I-84 and 91 interchange. So again, that is the 24th most congested site in the nation's top 100 bottlenecks. So I think that's important to note. We also have explore developing and improving truck parking and rest facilities, as I mentioned. So ways in which we'll be doing this would be supporting the state's truck parking study, as well as exploring the development of a facility between the city of Hartford and the Massachusetts border. And we can also look at improving the functionality of existing stops that we have. Rob, I believe, is one that already touched on the regional warehousing planning study, so I won't belabor that except to say that this city would look to analyze the impact of this increase in warehousing and distribution centers and hopefully look to identify best practices to help our communities plan, mitigate, and regulate for such uses. We also have their addressing the capacity issues and the infrastructure constraints that we've talked about, and supporting development of Bradley with increased cargo capabilities and services. Slide, please. All right, and last for me, at least, is chapter 7. So this is emerging tech. Highlighting only a few of the ones that you'll actually find in the chapter, we talk about connected vehicles, autonomous vehicles. We also talk about micromobility. We also have in there the notion of smart cities, so areas that use real-time data to manage city access, assets and services more efficiently. So that's important. And then we have quite a bit actually also on electric vehicles, so EVs and network planning and adoption. As far as EVs are concerned, they're somewhat on the brink, I think you could say, of fairly widespread adoption by consumers. There continue to be issues though related to higher prices, a lack of charging infrastructure, as well as some range anxiety that still exists as far as how far the battery would take you. So those continue to be limiting factors, but they are improving. Just a case in point, the sale of EVs increased 340% between 2017 and 2021. As far as our recommendations, we got the priority areas for connected vehicle, autonomous and electric vehicle infrastructure. So identifying areas where we should deploy such technologies to meet the needs of the region, and specifically thinking of these through advanced planning, pilot projects, as well as infrastructure investments. Additionally, Kaurab is also considering a regional EV study to prioritize charging locations as well and equitable access. This would complement the state NEVI plan or the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Plan. As well, I think Rob already touched on this, but incentivizing behavior that contributes to a more sustainable transportation system, and on the flip side of that, disincentivizing behavior that has the opposite effect. So looking at things like congestion pricing or VMT pricing would be examples of that. And again, we have the continue to support infrastructure for micromobility. So micromobility, it took a dip in ridership during the pandemic, but it's rebounded to nearly its pre-pandemic levels. Case in point, I think there was 112 million rides in 2021 alone. So modern micromobility really relies on emerging technology, real-time GPS, the ability to unlock vehicles and whatnot. So as other emerging tech comes out in this area, I think we can expect to see that in our micromobility services as well. All right, next slide.
Thank you. This slide talks about performance measures and specifically federal performance measures. These are measures that came about 4 years ago. And not only get measured, but performance targets are set for them. And we are entering the second four-year period of updating these. So we do have data which we can look back and see how we're performing. And I think Kara mentioned many of these before. Most of these pertain to our FHWA targets and pertain to the highway system, which includes bikes and peds. However, there is one, the darker blue rectangle is for transit asset management, and that's an FTA performance measures. So briefly, and Karen touched on this, but safety obviously is the biggest concern here, with it being degraded recently severely. Infrastructure and performance has improved. Each of them have improved. We've met targets in both areas. The caveat there with the performance measures is that COVID really did reduce congestion and delay, improve travel time reliability, and improve emissions. We're currently in Connecticut at about 90% of VMT as we were pre-pandemic, just due to not fully rebounding due to various work from home and other advantageous strategies that have been deployed. Transit assets have a mixed bag, have remained relatively stable, and we do have two new measures that we do not have a history on because these are brand new this time around. We're just about to report on them for the first time, and that's the percent of non-single occupancy vehicles in the region and peak hour excessive delay per capita. And those are two measures that obviously over the next each 4 years we'll be updating and have more of an ability to track going forward. Next. So we have a chapter called special emphasis areas, and that's not to be confused with the three focus areas that we focused on this time due to the administration's focus. But these are things you don't typically, might not typically think about when you think about transportation. And one is transportation security. And if you look, all the bullets there really pertain to safety, but there's things you might not immediately think are safety related. For example, TIM or Transportation Incident Management. Whenever there's a crash on a roadway, the chance of a secondary crash is very, very high, or additional crashes behind that. So it's very important to safely get the area cleared and quickly. But you'll see other bullets here, such as evacuation planning, a transit's role in emergency planning, and others that you might not typically think of that are included in this chapter. Also in this chapter is coordination among the metropolitan planning organizations. This mainly includes the other MPOs that are adjacent to CROG. The Hartford MPO actually extends, the urbanized area extends beyond CROG and into River COG and Naugatuck Valley COG. So we coordinate with those other two entities. The Springfield MPO extends down into our region. Infield and some of the surrounding communities are part of that MPO. So we coordinate with Pioneer Valley Planning Commission up in Springfield. And then also we partake in the MAP Forum, which is an organization that is a compilation of all the MPOs in and around Metro New York. And so we participate in that. Air quality and environmental mitigation. There are other avenues other than EVs that we support, reducing diesel emissions, support for electric bus program, and other initiatives that are talked about in this chapter, along with getting into more detail with transportation demand management, which has been very effective almost by accident with COVID, with work from home and other measures coming into play that have reduced vehicle miles traveled. Next. Financial planning is a complicated topic, and there's a million ways to slice the finances in transportation, but this, I'll try to give a brief summary. There's much more detail in the report. Basically, the latest transportation bill, which some call IJA, has increased the federal transportation formula funding by about 40 or 50%. So this is the federal funds. And then in addition to that, there are federal funds available for discretionary grant funding opportunities. But if you look at the pie chart on the right, you'll see that federal funds are only part of the whole pie. And in particular, they're the gray part. There's also a lot of state funds involved for both capital investment and operations and maintenance. Federal funds can only be used primarily for capital projects. So basically, over the next 5 years, we anticipate the pie is $15 billion for Connecticut, so about $3 billion a year, with about 40% of that coming from federal sources. If you exclude operations and maintenance and just think of the capital improvements, it's about $11 billion over 3 years. And that, if you look at it per mode, is split really between FHWA and federal transit. 60% for FHWA, which is highways, bikes, and peds, and 40% for FTA, which is transit. And this, obviously, the $11 billion does include state funding, not just federal funding. Now, if you boil that down into CROG's region and what we have to look at for to be a fiscally constrained plan, through 2050, it's a different story. We have estimated revenues of $11 billion for FHWA-type eligible projects, so that highway, bike, and ped capital projects, and constrained revenues of $2.9 billion for transit capital projects. And once again, that would not include operations and maintenance, which a big portion of that is for operation of the transit system. Major regional highway projects, we've identified in our plan those specific line items. We've identified $5.9 billion worth over the next 27 years. The remaining 5.1 of revenues we anticipate being needed for maintaining a state of good repair and for more minor projects. For major transit projects, we've identified $1.6 billion in our plan, with the entire $1.3 billion CONDA expects will be needed for maintaining a state of good repair on those systems. We've also identified two major interchanges, which we talked about before, that are likely to have price tags that will not be able to be funded under this plan. So we've identified them as unfunded needs. Currently, the Greater Hartford Mobility Study is studying these and other improvements in the region for all modes, and we're anxiously awaiting their reporting. And then finally, we do all the time assist our municipalities with discretionary funding opportunities, including chasing some ourselves and receiving last year a RAISE grant and a Safe Streets for All grant. Next. Innovative financing is a topic that, seeing we do have additional formula funds and discretionary opportunities, has kind of not been focused on as much recently, but there are other ways to finance transportation projects, innovative ways to do them, whether it be tax increment financing, regional sales tax options, public-private partnerships. We should not lose sight that there are other avenues for funding. Next slide. We spoke about this before being a focus area of the current Biden administration, and that is equity and environmental justice. We do maintain environmental justice mapping and and we have for quite some time. However, it merits review and updating to best practices. And so we plan that is in this chapter. Also in this chapter is just our current policies with outreach, including what's outlined in our public participation plan, what we do for our individual studies and core documents related to outreach for various communities. We also are constantly interested in addressing the transportation concerns of EJ communities, especially in areas that are transit, walking, or riding dependent populations, and the air quality concerns in those communities. I mentioned before that we do plan to update our equity assessment practices. We are constantly monitoring the latest from the federal government and the latest burdens and benefits assessment methodology, along with monitoring that for the Justice 40 guidance, which we're anxiously awaiting so that we can be in best compliance with the latest. Next. Public involvement. There, we have a chapter on public involvement, and it speaks to our public participation program. COVID-19 has created some challenges and opportunities for public outreach. We anticipate updating our public participation plan this calendar year. We also shown in that chapter are all the recent study efforts since the last update of this plan and how what the public participation requirements or scoped items are in those studies. And then outreach related to this MTP. We have a website, we've had public notices of meetings, surveys, review periods. And then finally, we're going to approach our transportation committee and policy boards for approvals. We have updated them throughout this period of the MTP update, and we hope to get their approval in April. Next slide. So really, in summary, we are still in the public comment period until March 26th. We anticipate to get policy board action on this plan in April. And we have a website if you'd like to find out more. There's a lot of information covered in this plan, so it's worth it to look at the website and look at the actual document. If you have comments you want to provide by email, Chris Henchy's email address is on the screen along with his phone number. And thank you very much, and we'll open it up to questions and comments.
And just a note, as Rob said, we are available to accept any comments at this time. We will be online until 1:30 p.m. But right now, we are going to put ourselves on mute. But if anyone from the public wishes to make any comments, either in the chat or verbally, you are welcome to do so. And we will unmute and be happy to chat. Thank you. Good afternoon again. The time is now 1:30. Having heard no additional public comment, we are going to close this public meeting for now. Again, the public comment period will run through March 26th, and we will accept comments through then. Thank you again to everyone who attended.